All right, say it with me. My eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to His Spirit. My ears are listening to His voice. My mind will believe what He says, and my voice will declare the truth of His Word. And Lord, I say just that. Use us this morning. Speak to us. Transform us from the inside out. Help us to abide in You in everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right. My notes are a little bit different on me this morning, so forgive me for that. But this morning, I felt led to continue a bit of the word that we shared last week. Last week, I shared with you that the Lord said, I want you to remind my people of their purpose. And so we spoke a little bit on John 15, 5 through 8, which is where our name, Abide, comes from. But then we also spoke a lot about service towards each other, love for each other, how we bless each other and how we honor each other. And we ultimately honor Christ in taking care of that duty. So this morning, I felt led to continue and to expound on it a little bit and then give us some examples in Scripture of how important this is to the Lord. So the first place we're going to go to, and we're going to stay here just for a minute, is found in Revelation chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 1 and we're going to go through verse 7. Revelation 2, starting in verse 1. And I'm reading out of the New Living this morning. And it says, write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know all the things that you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles, but are not. You have discovered that they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works that you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. But this is in your favor. You hate the evil deeds of the Nicolaitans, just as I do. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what He is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God. Amen. I love these types of verses for a number of reasons. I mean, it's the Bible, it's living. If you don't feel His presence in it, you're doing it wrong. But I love these verses because He's speaking directly to us. And you may say, what? How? Huh? You know, and it's like, I know that Revelation has symbols and various things in there. That's true to a certain extent. But He's not just talking to the church in Ephesus. He's talking to the church, the bride, the body of Christ, us, right? Everyone everywhere, all around, right? The position that He takes in a few of these verses, I know the things that you do. I have seen your hard work. Some of you, when I said those words, your heart lit up because He's saying that to you. And me, when I read, but I have this complaint against you, my heart also lights up. Because Lord, I want to be someone who's teachable. I want to be someone that you can say, let's fix this. And I don't respond in anger. I don't respond with, oh, I'm not doing that. Come on, it's the Lord. He knows, right? You can't hide it. But nonetheless, we still try to have that little argue moment like, I'm not doing that, right? But I want to be that person that He can have this open and honest conversation with and say, I'm calling it out because I'm the one who can help you fix it. Will you press into me? Will you allow me that place in your life to help? Or will you remain on that path? And maybe that's why I was still tethered there to give us an example this morning, but I was going one way and that wasn't moving, right? It went down with a crash. And that's sometimes where some of our lives end up. We go a wrong way and then there's this big crash. There's this big mess. What happened? Where'd that come from? Well, if we took a time to study the events leading up to this moment, it'll probably be because I made a dumb decision and now I'm therefore reaping my consequences, right? But here's the good part of the story. Here's the part of the story of a good and loving God that wants to call these things to your attention. It's not as bad as it could have been. The boom wasn't as big as it possibly could have been. Why? Because he sees and he knows and he wants to help and he wants to guard and he wants to guide. And even in the face of persecution and judgment, he wants to be there through all of it. Are you with me this morning? Okay. I'm going to need a little bit of feedback this morning, specifically because this one's heavy. So make sure, even if it's, ow, say it out loud so I know, right? I get it, right? You know, it may just be an ow, it may be an amen, it may be a come on, but whatever it is, shout it out this morning, okay? So here's the question that I asked the Lord, that I was processing as I was reading this and thinking about the history of the church at Ephesus. If you do not know, I encourage you to get a Bible. There's some Bibles that are really thick, the good study Bibles, and they have the history, the setting, the language, the location. They have all the above. But just a little mini nutshell, I like this kind of thing, so I'm going to just kind of temper my excitement so I don't go all in and lose some people. But Ephesus was in an area right around modern-day Turkey. It was a massive city. Lots of people came to and went from this city. They had lots of temples to the false god, Artemis or Diana, whichever, whether you're Roman or Greek, but the temples of Artemis were there. And so these were what you and I would consider a religious people. They believed in something. They didn't believe in the right something, but they believed in something. One second. Stephen, I'm getting some feedback. Do I need to back up or move forward? Okay. But they were a very religious people. And Paul came through there and he established this church that we are currently talking about right now, that you will see talked about in the letter to the Ephesian church from Paul. And the gotcha in those letters, and this is what was so cool about them, the letter to the Ephesians, the letter to the Colossians, the letter to the Galatians, the letter to the Philippians, the letter to the Corinthians, etc., were all meant to be circular letters. And what that meant was, we're going to write it to you, but all these truths that are contained inside are applicable to all churches, so get that letter around to everybody else. So in some of the letters that you'll read, you'll hear about a letter written to the church of Laodicea. We also see in Revelation 2, the church of Laodicea. We see a church of Smyrna, right? All these churches had letters written to them. Now, they all didn't make it in the Bible. That doesn't make them less godly or more godly. Just FYI, there were a lot of letters. And they tried to canonize or structure the word in a way that said, this complements, this points people to Jesus, and it doesn't make it murky in the process. It didn't mean what they had before was bad, but this is something we want to standardize on to minimize confusion. I can get behind that. All right? Another key thing that happened, and I want to say, my brain, I'm trying to think of the picture because I look at pages and memorize it that way, but I want to say it was 467 AD. There was a council that met at this church to determine what they would do, what they would believe, so we get some of our creeds. You know, I believe in God our Father, you know, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, right? We get our creeds from some of these councils as they were trying to root out heresy. Heresy is when people say some stuff that ain't about Jesus, okay? And they're like, no, we don't want that. That messes people up. Let's not go that way, right? They started working out things like the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They start working out things like, wait a second, Jesus wasn't just a man, he was the God-man. He's part of the Trinity. We got to look at this differently, right? So they worked out things like that. So the church in Ephesus was very critical. But here's the question, so go with me. That's our little stage set up. I will give you some resources if you want to study it more. It is really cool, and I love it. So I have a lot of stuff for that. But what I asked myself from that point then was, okay, so Jesus died approximately 33 to 35 AD, right? This church and Paul would have come after Jesus. So plus, let's say 30 to 40 years, right? And then we get this letter. So John's an old man. John is receiving a revelation. It's been some time. Jesus is gone. The church had been established. And then a short period later, we see this response from Jesus through the Holy Spirit as given through a revelation to the Apostle John. Are you with me? All right. So what happened? What happened as... So listen to some of the things that he calls out. And I'm going to color this a little bit more with Chris language. But it says, I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know that you don't tolerate evil people. You've examined the claims of those who say they are apostles, but they are not. And you have discovered that they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. These are all good things, right? And then he goes into some issues they have. And then he says, but you also have this in your favor. You hate the evil deeds of the Nicolaitans. And that's called out twice in this little discourse to the churches. There's another church that also does not like these dudes, the Nicolaitans. There's not really a whole lot to that, so I can't color that too much for you. But they're bad dudes, right? They're the ones spreading lies and poison and junk. So he's calling out the good things. So listen, let me recap it in a more conversational way. They were fighting the good fight of faith. They were intent on protecting the good news that they had heard. They were hungry for righteousness. They observed how people lived and they confronted sin when they saw it. And they heard what others taught and called it out any time that the teaching was an error. The church endured both spiritual and physical attacks from every side. And they were not about to stop or compromise what they had believed. And yet, their love for God and others had changed. What happened? Here's some of my commentary. I think that sometimes fighting the spiritual battle before us can become so consuming that it takes all of our focus and we forget why we're doing it and who we're doing it for. Are you with me? Does that sound like today? Or does that sound like all those hundreds of years ago? No, it sounds like today, right? Listen to what we can forget. We forget about loving those who are hurting. We forget about loving one another. We forget that we too were once lost in sin. We were not lovers of God, but we loved only ourselves and what we want to do. And yet, what are some of the things that Christians say when those types, I'm going to say those types, everyone say those types, walk in the building? Are they really here? Can they go somewhere else? No. You snarl that nose. Go, everyone try your best at snarling your nose because you do it sometimes without trying, right? You know? I don't know if you smell something bad or what, but, right? You just snarl your nose and you have this face, even if the words don't come out, of judgment, of how could you? And what we forget is before Jesus, that was us, right? Okay, so if we're being honest in the room, I'm going to take us one step backwards, right? Paul said, this statement is true. Christ Jesus came to save sinners, of who I am chief. Right? I didn't do all that Paul did, but I did some dumb stuff. I would consider myself among the chieftain, right? I had my own clan. We all did dumb stuff together. So let's rightly see ourselves, where we were, and who we are. Let us keep our joy, and let's live that out, rather than trying to live out judgment, rather than trying to live out, you need to fix that. You got things a little crooked there. You're not looking, you know, proper, right? Because before Jesus, we didn't look, sound, or act like believers. And what is the biggest complaint of non-Christians against Christians today? That we act that way. That we act no different. We haven't changed. We just slap a bumper sticker on our shirt and on our car, and you know, we still cut them off and give them the bird in traffic, right? Now, goodness. I'm going to get all up in your business today. If someone drives and they cut you off and then they proceed to go 40 miles under the speed limit and you call them a word other than their name, welcome, Chiefs. Right? Is that their name? That was probably not their God-given name. If it was, I'm sorry. But it probably was not their God-given name that you just assigned to them. So instead, if something has to come out of your mouth, say, Lord, would you bless them? Would you give them discernment to know that they're going way too slow and they ought to get off the highway? Lord, I pray for them to get home safely and so they don't do that again and cause any danger or damage. There's some words that you can say that probably stress the importance of the moment without assigning to them a status or a name that was not their God-given one. Are you with me? All right. I'm preaching to the choir because I do that all the time. Lord, forgive me. Help me, Jesus. I'm curious. Was this word written in Revelation here? Was this for unbelievers or believers? What? Okay. So I go back to my first question. What happened? Did it happen overnight? All of a sudden, it just swooped on them and they changed. You and I need to know that the enemy doesn't work that way. He's dumb, but he's more crafty than that. He wants you to believe things gradually. He wants you to shift things gradually. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. Like, we'll get somebody else in the church that looks a little more like us, sounds a little bit more like us. There's so and so many billions of people on earth. That's just one. It's not a big deal. It's fine. It happened gradually. So with this church, it maybe took a generation or more. That's what it appears like. With Israel, they stopped following the Lord in a relatively short period of time too. Remember? They did the same thing. And they had truths. And they had promises. And they had covenants. And they had blessings. Did the Lord break any of those? No, they did. Just like the church in Ephesus was doing all the right things, and yet he called them to repent. They had forsaken their first love. One of the things that stuck out to me, and I think I have a little note for it, and you could write this down, but this rang true in my heart. They let duty replace love. Duty replace love. Oh, I got to guard the scriptures. I got to make sure we're not preaching heresy. I got to make sure that we're doing everything by the book, that we're practicing Shabbat on Shabbat. That we're saying five prayers, not four. It better be five. That I'm doing it all time by time by time, step by step, moment by moment. And I better be getting it right. What does that feel like? Law, not freedom. Are you with me? Their religious actions and hard work, which God honored them for, but they allowed it to replace him in their heart. It became a badge of honor. You see that? I am the esteemed Pastor Chris Johnson of the Church of Ephesus. Right? I'm sure someone said that. I don't know what his name was, but you know what I'm saying. So I believe Jesus is reminding us here, and I want to remind us here, may we never forget his love. May we never take our eyes, our spiritual eyes, the eyes of our heart, right, off the one who first loved us, who saw me when I was chief sinner and said, I love him. I died for him. I want him. Will he want me back? Right? Listen to 1 John 4:16. We talked about it a little bit last time, so I'm not going to go in depth, but it reminded us that God is love. It says, whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. What does that sound like? That A word out there. Abide. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. 1 John 4:19 through 20. It says, we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a what? Liar. Y'all remember that song? I'm not going to sing it. But he's a liar, right? Don't be a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they can see with their eyes cannot love God whom they cannot see. Do you love your brother and sister? Even when they're obnoxious and they get on your last nerve, do you love them? You love them because he first loved you, right? That's important to me. We talk about that a lot in our household. Of, I don't think Cain woke up one day and just said, you know what, I'm going to go kill my brother. This seems like the right thing to do. He was deceived. It was a process. He was jealous. He had lots of issues, but it was a process. It didn't happen overnight. His desire was not for a plaque that said, first guy to kill somebody in all of creation, Cain. Right? That's not what he wanted. And I'm adding levity to that, but seriously, I don't think he woke up one day and said that. It happened. I love what 1 Corinthians 13:13, we talked about 13:4 through, but 13:13 in the Passion Translation, I love this, listen to this. It says, there are three things that remain, persist, last forever. Faith, hope, and love. And then what does he say? Yet love surpasses, is greater than all of them. So above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run. Now listen, I talked about this before. All our attempts at what we think love is are failed copies of God's love. They don't match. We're not talking about the same thing. I'm not talking about, oh, the lovey-dovey, yeah, get someone, you know, this nice romantic evening together. That's not what we're talking about. The love that he has for us and in us is a different type of love. It's not based on your actions. I could be thoroughly annoyed with you, but still love you like Christ loved you. Right? It's different. It's not really based on emotion. It's based on a decision, a choice. As I said before, my favorite part about this area where he begins to tell them what was going on and where they had missed it, it's so massively beautiful to me. Because I see Scripture fulfilled in the sense that Jesus said when he went away to heaven, he would send us a comforter, a counselor. And one of the things that he said resonated in my heart as I went through this, but he said he was to be our guide into all truth, or what I'm saying in mine, real truth. We have truth, facts, this is true, this is false, but what he's talking about is life-giving, transforming. And so he's saying, listen to what the Spirit says and do it, right? You'll find life. You'll be victorious. You'll be an overcomer. Who wants that? Amen? The Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Spirit wanted these believers and us by extension to know that the promise of God could still be theirs. That he loved them and they could choose to return to their first love. Do you see that? Here's the steps that he called out. They had to understand how far that they had fallen, or the fact that they had fallen at all. What? We did something bad? Oh, surely not, right? No. Acknowledge and realize that you're not doing everything well. You're not abiding in me. You're not walking in love. Yeah, you work hard. Good job. The pagans do that. But have you forgotten me as your first love? That looks different. It sounds different, right? They had to understand how far they had fallen and had to be reminded what they did at first. Number two, and this is key to all of it, right? They had to repent. They had to have that heart change of saying, I acknowledge that I have sinned against you and you alone. Wash me clean. Make me white as snow, right? Then number three, still a choice. They had to choose to return to their first love. That's a step. That's a process. That's an inward heart movement to not stay where you are. And I battle with this. Maybe some battle with this, but go with me here. This may kind of hurt a little bit. But don't stay in the spot where you feel defeated. Don't stay in the spot where like, oh no, I've messed up. Well, he doesn't want me anymore. You know, right? Don't stay there. It's so easy for the devil to say, yep, you're junk. Stay here. Hang out with me. You know, right? We'll go into the compost and the fire together, you know, because that's what he wants. Don't stay there. Get up. Dust it off. God's in me. He's for me. He's with me. He wants me to succeed because he's telling me what I'm doing wrong and how to repent, how to make it right, how to walk with him. That's from someone who loves me. He does not love you. He wants you to wallow, right? Don't do that. I want to go to Ephesians 10 because I want to color a few things and we're winding down here. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. And I picked the Passion Translation. This is going to shake some of you. I just know. Just go with me here. It is a good translation. This is just going to stick out to your ears a lot differently than a version you might have memorized just like it did with me. So listen to what it says in the Passion Translation, Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. Now, my beloved ones, I have saved these most important truths for last. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union or abiding with the Lord Jesus. Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Are you standing victorious that way? Explosive power. That dunamis power, right? Where's that come from? Us? Our own workings? Our own strength? No. That's why we're so tired when we do it ourselves. Don't do that. Explosive power. Verse 11. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that we would be protected as we fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. They're strategies. They're not power. We give them power by what we give, not what he does, right? Okay, strategies, trying to get us to give up power, give up authority. Verse 12, your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Artemis was one of those. Guess who he's writing to? A church that has a little demon god that everyone's worshiping, giving authority to, changing the atmosphere. Verse 13, because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so that you're protected as you confront the slanderer. For you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Say, I'm going to rise victorious. So do this. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart. We do hand motions to ours, so you just got to forgive me. stand with your feet alert, and you'll always be ready to share the blessings of peace. In every battle, take faith as your, and I love this, my wraparound shield. Hold on a second. How do I do this little wraparound shield thing? Like, that's cool, right? Your wraparound shield, like it actually stops stuff. For it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. I love the way Alan and I were talking about this one time. He's like, did you know the devil doesn't know that he hits you until you start making a big old fuss about it? Like, you know, like, I'm sick. You know, this is usually the guys, all the women in the house said amen. But all the guys are like, oh, I feel so bad. I think I've got the flu or I got the sniffles or something. And all the wives are like, you big baby, are you kidding me right now? Like, he is acting like he's dying. You're fine. You will live. Stop it. But the devil acts that way too. He's like, he's listening for those whiny voices like, ah, I hit somebody. Let's go pick on them, right? Don't wallow. Be bold. You have victory in Jesus, right? Put on, where am I at? In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. And then verse 17, I gotta talk about this one just a little bit. So I'm a super huge nerd, geek, goober, whatever you want to call me. But we had a 4th of July little party celebration thing this Wednesday at my house. And it didn't come in time, but it came later. But I ordered a lightsaber. And I'm not just talking about any lightsaber. I'm talking about one that you can actually fight with. One that glows and just looks so cool. I didn't intend to get a dark side one, so I'll have to swap out that. But nonetheless, it's massive, right? And I was like, man, this feels like sword of the spirit. Like, goodness, this guy's going to do some damage. I feel dangerous just holding it right now. And it's not even going to cut through like arms and stuff like it does in the movies. But man, this is cool, right? And I'm thinking, like, what do you think the devil thinks when we look at a scripture like this in verse 17? Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies and take the mighty, right? Gosh, I wish I would have brought it this morning. This would be so cool. But this mighty, razor-sharp sword of the Spirit, the Spirit sword of the spoken word of God, and I'm declaring the promises of God. I'm telling the devil, hey, you may know Scripture, but I'm going to make sure you know the right ones. You're under my feet. You've lost. You've been defeated. Your eternal destination is a big pit of fire. You got nothing, buddy. And I'm just in here swinging that sword, right? Hitting everything under the sun, knocking stuff off, breaking lights. It's like, yeah! See that? You know? I love it. That's fun. I'm going to bring it next time. I'm going to just have to show you. I'll have to get the color changed so you guys don't think weird stuff about me, but got to be one of the good ones, right? But that mighty, razor-sharp spirit sword. When I told this little boy that, when he had night terrors, he didn't have them anymore. Because when you're wielding something like that, bud, ain't nothing's coming against you. Right? So if you have issues sleeping, start putting on the armor every night, every morning. It's just cool doing. We made some armor for our car and said, we're going to cover it with this and we're going to cover it with that. We did scriptures over our vehicles, right? Scriptures over your house. Scriptures over your bedroom and your beds. Where do you spend all your time? Well, you spend a lot of time in bed sleeping in your life. You ought to pray for it. You ought to ask the Lord to anoint your mind when you sleep. Give you dreams that are divine strategies from heaven. Not listening to the lies of the evil one. Are you with me? That's cool. Here's my favorite part in whatever translation you want to look at. This last part of Ephesians is my all-time favorite. The armor is cool, but here's what I want. I want to pray passionately in the Holy Spirit. I prayed that for years. Teach me to pray even when I don't know. My mind gets in the way. I start chasing squirrels and rabbits and all kinds of creature, right? And I want Holy Spirit to pray because He knows exactly what to pray for. And I want to do it with all of my heart and soul. Pray passionately in the Spirit as you constantly, say constantly, intercede with every form of prayer. Say this with me. At all times. Sometimes? At all times. So if you hear Pastor Chris walking and I'm talking and I don't appear to be talking to you, it's because I'm talking to Jesus. I do this all the time. And people are like, you are crazy. I'd rather be that kind of crazy and be talking to my Savior. Because He is the one who gets stuff done, not me. Okay? So talk to Him at all times. It doesn't have to be where you sit down and you get the candles and the music and all that and you take the position. It doesn't have to be that way. He's right there. Right? Right there, in an instant. Father, are you there? I'm here. He said it before I could even get the words out. Right? Every time, talk to Him. He's talking to you. Do you hear Him? The last part. Please don't forget to do this. Goodness. We're in Prayers of the Saints series. Please don't forget to do this. All of that and this. Pray the blessings of God upon all His believers. Are you praying for believers? Are you praying for them as they're sharing their faith, as they're being bold, as they're walking out in dangerous places? Are you lifting them up? If you're not, do it. I appreciated something that Paul said in our first little inaugural Thursday morning prayer when he and I were praying. He said, I'm praying that the Lord will give me the face of people in these countries that I've never met before. I didn't know what they looked like before, but He's going to show me their face, possibly even tell me their name, and I'm going to pray for them by face and by name. Right? Do you believe God can do that? He absolutely can. So stand in it and say, I know you will. So the moment I get the picture, I'm like, I'm praying for that guy with the little hair swirl that does this, right? I see him. He's got a beard. It looks pretty awesome, you know? Right? I'm picking. Let me read this last part for you, and we're about to play our worship song here. But in Jeremiah 29:11, a few months back, we talked about this, and it was on my heart because last Sunday we talked about how God wanted to establish a home, a place, a base of central operations in us, a place to house His glory and for us to be people that carry His glory out of here. Are you with me, right? So listen to what He says. We talked about this a little bit before. He said, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. All those had S's. All those were plural. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I'll do what? I'll listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Verse 14, I love it. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back from captivity. How am I in captivity? All those places that the devil gradually led you to, He's bringing you back, step by step. You don't have to be there anymore. You don't have to wallow anymore. You don't have to defeat yourself anymore or wonder, why aren't things working out my way? Or, man, it just seems like I have the worst luck on the planet. I had an uncle that said it this way, if I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck. Do you want to walk in that? Do you want to continue speaking that over your life? No, I'm blessed. Who gives a rip about luck? I've got the Spirit and power of God in me, and He's nothing but victorious. He wins all the time. And if I get to be a small sliver of His victory, man, I'm doing good. I'm going to dance, right? But He's going to bring us from all the places that we've been led into captivity, all the lies that we've believed. He's taking them all back and saying, I'm going to put you on the path that I intended for you to go. Are you ready? Yes, Lord, yes. So questions, are you feeling overwhelmed today? Are you feeling alone and spiritually tired? Are you so focused on your battle or the battle that you've noticed that the love of God and your love for others is missing? Not where it should be. I'm hearing Holy Spirit tug on me on that when you said that, Pastor, that it's not where it should be. Maybe you've begun to realize that your love for God isn't where it should be. And it's not that you don't love Him, but you know that your love for Him is not what it once was. It's not what it was at first. It's not what it was on that first day when I professed His name and I wanted to jump and shout and sing. I'm not there. I want to get back, right? So take this moment to listen to Holy Spirit and press in. every day take time to soak in His love and His presence. Spend a little time in worship. I've got it on here. Spend time in His Word. Spend time. Focus on praying and receiving. When I pray, I know that you hear. You just said that you did in multiple scriptures. I know that you hear. I know that you said, when I'm aligned with you, when I'm abiding in you, I can ask whatever I want, and you will do it. Why? Because it brings Father glory, and you live to bring Father glory. I want to live to bring Father glory. I like this one. Choose to show His love to others by our love for them, regardless of their situation. I don't know what you're in. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you're currently doing now. But you need to know Jesus loves you, and so do I. How can I serve you? How can I bless you? Even if in the back of your mind you say, whatever I give, they're just going to buy drugs. They're just going to buy alcohol. They're just going to waste it on crazy living. Do it anyway. Let God choose to judge what they do with it, not you. Are you with me? Choose today to be an overcomer. Listen to Holy Spirit's voice and His guidance and press in. Don't leave. You don't have to go. He's not going to kick you out. Press in. Say today, let's say this with me. I choose to grow deeper in love. Guide me by your Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to ask them to play this worship song, and I just want everybody to sit where they are and just kind of soak in this moment. We're going to practice this, soak in His love and presence. These are, one of them is a song we sung earlier, but both of these two songs, if they got me when I was all, I don't want to be here, I think it's going to get you too. So if we could play these songs and just soak in His presence for a moment.
Take joy, my King.
Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what He is saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God. Jesus, You are better than anything on this planet. Guard our hearts and lives. Help us to see what You see. Help us to have Your heart in prayer. Help us to walk in Your ways. Jesus, help us to be a light to all mankind. And Lord, when they see us, they don't see just more of those Christians. Lord Jesus, I pray they see You. Not many people have seen You these days, but I pray that we show them Jesus and You transform their lives. And we just get to be there to celebrate with them and love on them and welcome them into the family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.